Hey, pals, before we jump into today's episode, I would love to do another Ask Me Anything podcast episode. You guys really seem to enjoy these Q&A type episodes, and I love it as well because it just allows us to connect more. I'm able to answer questions that you have to really support you on your journey. You can literally ask anything about keto, low carb, coaching, supplements, exercise, spiritual and healing practices. Anything personal that you want to know about me or my journey. By now, you guys know I'm an open book. I love sharing my experiences. You can ask anything totally random, anything and everything. If there is something that you just want to share or something that you're struggling with and want just a little bit of guidance around, or maybe you've sat there and been like, I just have this one question I'd love to ask her. This is your opportunity to ask away. There is a link down in the show notes where you can submit a question or a share, or you can DM me on Instagram and I will be sure to include it in an upcoming episode. The Keto Success Podcast community is absolutely incredible. This is a safe space. There are no silly questions. So ask away, and I can't wait to pour into the answers and connect with you more. Thank you so much in advance. And let's start the show. Hey, pals, it's Stephanie. Welcome back to the Keto Success Podcast, a show dedicated to doing the deeper work on your keto journey. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, pals, welcome back to another episode of the Keto Success Podcast. Today, we are leaning into the woo a little bit. If you've listened to episodes before, you know I love the woo. I try to do a little bit of a mix between our thoughts, our mindset, our physical body, our tangible strategies, but we also need to include our spiritual connection, our soul connection. What are some of the spiritual roots that cause us to gain weight in the first place? And how is it that nourishing our soul and our spirit may actually help us to lose weight and to get healthier on this keto journey? Here's the thing. You are a soul in a human body having a human experience. And it's really interesting because we completely neglect this part of us when it comes to creating our lives, creating a healthy lifestyle, wanting to lose weight, because it seems far-fetched that anything to do with our physical body or gaining weight or having excess weight on us has anything to do with our soul, right? This is a physical thing. This is an external problem. But if we are not acknowledging all of the parts of us that create who you are as a whole being on this planet, then we're doing ourselves a disservice because it really is this mind-body-spirit connection that comes together to create the totality of our being. You are a whole person. And while, of course, things like diet and exercise are important, and of course, things like managing our thoughts and really getting in the right mindset is important, we don't even consider what our spirit or our soul has to do with any of it. And whatever you believe in, whether it's God, the universe, whatever your beliefs are, there is still a general consensus that we all have a soul. There is absolutely a spiritual side to this journey. And when I say spiritual, I'm referring to your relationship with both something bigger than yourself and your actual self. Your relationship with yourself is important for healing your relationship with food and eating. And through so many years of diet culture and diet culture conditioning and trying all the diets, we pretty much destroy that piece of us. We've taught ourselves and been conditioned through diet culture that you can't be trusted around food. And therefore, you must always rely on an external set of rules in order to feel safe. And when self-trust is broken, everything falls apart, especially our eating. So there really is this psycho-spiritual component, this psychology combined with this spiritual side that is something I really want to speak into today because I don't think it gets talked about enough. I don't think we even consider it. Perhaps you've never even thought of what does my spirit or my soul have to do with weight loss at all? So I really just wanted to shine a light on this topic because it absolutely has an impact. And I've been wanting to record this episode for so long. And a lot of it will be based on a book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. I will link it down in the show notes for you. This book, honestly, I'm having this full circle moment. When I decided that I wanted to record a podcast on this, I started rereading this book. This book was a required part of my registered holistic nutritionist curriculum. Mind, body, spirit. We talked about all of the mind things. We talked about all of the physical things, the body things, and we learned about how important the spiritual aspect of any healthy lifestyle truly is. And this book was part of the curriculum. I mean, Louise Hay really is the GOAT. She is like the greatest of all time. She is one of the original thinkers, spiritual teachers who brought this idea of healing and spirituality to the mainstream. And this book just really resonated with me. It always stuck with me. She is the queen of affirmations and kind of the originator of them and how that can really impact our thinking. In fact, I've used one of the affirmations she has for insomnia or falling asleep for over a decade. I didn't even realize that until just now, but I literally remember reading that 15 years ago, and I still use it to this day when I'm having trouble falling asleep. So when we're talking about this mind-body-spirit connection, we are referring to ourselves as a whole being. It's the totality of who we are. And all three of these aspects are interconnected. So when one of these aspects is out of balance, it really does have an effect on the others. For example, your mood and emotions directly impact your stress levels, which then can cause physical health issues. If you're feeling mental distress, that can lead to spiritual distress, and it manifests as things like lack of motivation. So by paying attention to this mind-body-spirit connection, you can be more intentional about how you care for yourself to create better health and well-being for your lifetime. So in this episode, we really are going to touch on the spiritual reasons for weight gain, why we gain weight in the first place, and how that could be blocking our weight loss, our keto lifestyle that we're trying to create. I really just want you to listen to this episode with an open heart and an open mind and allow the pieces that resonate with you to really land with you. Because this really, like I said, is a topic that never gets talked about, right? We've heard this word holistic for decades. And we identify or can understand that there's this mind, body, spirit thing that we should heal ourselves, mind, body, and soul. I mean, heck, I've said that 100 times, 1,000 times probably. But we don't really know how to apply that or how that actually affects us and how that has maybe caused us or been the root cause for our weight gain in the first place. The path towards a healthy, happy, healing keto lifestyle is an inner journey. We can follow all the rules, but that will only get us so far until we really start to look inward and turn inward and include this spiritual side of us that has been destroyed or simply just not considered. And that is why I really just want to talk about this topic today. And I hope that it resonates with you. So the biggest spiritual reason for weight gain is a need for protection. In Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, she writes, "Being overweight is another good example of how we can waste a lot of time and energy trying to correct a problem that is not the real problem. People often spend years and years fighting fat and are still overweight. They blame all of their problems on being overweight. The excess weight is only an outer effect of a deep inner problem. This problem is almost always fear and a need for protection. When we feel frightened or insecure or not good enough, many of us will put on extra pounds for protection." I mean, that alone just really resonated with me because all of my life I have struggled with being the bigger girl, the pudgy kid, literally from the moment I was born. I was born 9 pounds, 6 ounces to my poor little 5-foot mother, who was bedridden with me because I was so big, and I was born 2 weeks early. So from the moment I was born, I was the pudgy kid. You know, I was bigger boned. I was athletically built. I was always the bigger girl. And I also always carried the belief that anything I did never seemed like it was good enough. You know, I have siblings that are 7 and 8 years older than me, and I just lived in this world where I almost had 4 parents, and I was comparing myself to my siblings who are almost a decade older than me and thought, like, why can't I do what they can do, or why am I not good enough? I was always a highly sensitive kid as well, really emotional, can cry really easily. And it made me cling to any kind of protection I could. And that's where food came in. Because food was like this reliable thing that made me feel good. And in hindsight, it's no surprise that weight gain was a natural byproduct of my need for protection, especially when I felt like nothing I did was good enough. And that food would comfort me and soothe me. And this need for protection is arguably the most significant spiritual block to weight loss. Carrying extra weight on our body at a deeply subconscious level is really an attempt to feel protected from vulnerability and emotional pain. At a metaphysical level, excess weight is really a physical symptom that symbolizes a need for protection from what we feel is chaos, the big bad world outside of us, the need to keep people at a safe distance because it's not safe to share who we actually are, to hold ourselves back from going out there because it's scary to be out there. It's also a physical symptom that we are protecting ourselves from our internal world, from our feelings, from feeling our feelings, because that's really scary. That's going to have to be unpacked, and we don't have the time or the capacity to deal with it. So we just numb ourselves with food. It really is this need for protection, to protect ourselves from the world outside of us and from everything that's going on within us. And I love when Louise Hay writes, to spend our time berating ourselves for being too heavy, to feel guilty about every bite of food we eat, to do all the numbers we do on ourselves when we gain weight, is just a waste of time. 20 years later, we can still be in the same situation because we have not even begun to deal with the real problem. All that we have done is to make ourselves more frightened and insecure, and then we need more weight for protection. So we will actually use food and being overweight as a way to protect ourselves because it feels safer to do that. It doesn't feel safe to be who we are, to show our full spectrum of ourselves. So we run from that. We hide from the negative emotions. We use food to avoid our problems because it brings us comfort. It feels like a reliable source of comfort. And that is our need for protection. We are protecting ourselves and using this protection to stay in our comfort zone so that we feel safe and secure, even though it's not what we actually want for ourselves. This need for protection really can be the root to weight gain as well as a block to losing weight. It can really block us from loving ourselves and accepting ourselves for where we are now. And like Louise said, we spend so much time berating ourselves and feeling guilty about everything. And we waste so much energy and mental bandwidth obsessing over all of this mind drama around dieting and weight loss. We are burning ourselves out. It's exhausting to your mind and to your spirit. I mean, just imagine what you could be doing with your time and energy and emotional bandwidth and mental bandwidth if we didn't have this constant diet mind drama circling around in our brains and controlling everything that we do and obsessing over everything that we eat. What could we be doing to really feed our soul and our spirit if we weren't tied up in all of this dieting drama? When we turn inwards and go on a journey of loving and accepting ourselves, that is when our spirit gets to flourish. And it's so fascinating because when that happens, the weight tends to start shedding off. And self-love and self-acceptance doesn't just happen overnight, right? We have been beating the absolute shit out of ourselves for a really long time. And if neurons that wire together fire together, that is our default instinct to really just feel disappointed in ourselves, have regret, worry, feel frustrated and defeated in ourselves, and like we're never going to be able to do this. And in her book, Louise really does highlight the fact that it doesn't really matter what diet you're on. The most important diet that we need to really embrace when it comes to weight loss is a mental diet. It is a diet from negative thoughts. It really is about turning inward. And so often we tell ourselves, well, I can't love myself because I'm overweight. When really, we've got it backwards. And we are probably overweight because we don't love ourselves. And when we begin to love and approve of ourselves, it is amazing how the weight will start to come off our bodies. We can't hate ourselves into a version that we love. We can't. You can't hate yourself and grip onto the keto diet and follow all of the rules and get to your goal weight. You will likely still not be happy there, even if you lose all the weight. That absolutely happened to me. When I lost 40 pounds on keto, I was the quote-unquote skinniest I've ever been for as long as I can remember, absolutely my entire adult life. I wasn't any happier because of how my body looked. I was happier because suddenly I became a person that followed through with my intentions. I was a person that stopped breaking promises to myself. I was a person that cared for nourishing my body. I became a person that felt capable, and it really was a catalyst that trickled over into so many other areas of my life. But the happiness didn't come from the way I looked or how much weight I lost. It came from who I became through the process of loving myself and nourishing myself. And it's fascinating to me now because when I see photos of when I was at my skinniest, quote unquote, from doing keto, I don't even like how I looked. I genuinely feel like I looked like a bobblehead. Like I had this big head on this slim frame that I've never even seen my body look like that before in my life. I was really slim and lean, and I didn't just lose body fat. I also lost a lot of muscle. I lost my curves. I didn't like how I looked. So we can get these ideas about wanting this goal weight and that I've got to get to that number, but you actually don't even know if you will like being there. You don't know if you'll be able to sustain being there. And I can promise you, it will not make you love yourself more. Because the baggage that you're carrying with you doesn't suddenly disappear just because you're carrying less pounds on your body. And in fact, when we pour into our soul and our spirit and we practice loving ourselves and accepting ourselves and meeting ourselves where we're at now, you are now building the foundation for happiness and for the weight to come off in a way that feels sustainable because you are loving yourself through the journey, not just once you reach the destination. Food is nourishment on the most basic level. So when we are nourishing ourselves with foods that our body loves, that we love, we are becoming more aligned with this whole part of us where we're not denying ourselves actual nourishment that our body needs, that we get to feel good about ourselves for making choices that align with who it is we want to become. Self-hatred is only hating a thought you have about yourself. And these self-hating thoughts destroy your spirit and your soul. It wreaks havoc on your self-esteem, your self-confidence, your self-worth. And through diet culture conditioning, we tend to have this main message that I'm not good enough, so what's the use? And we use our body as this focal point for self-hatred. If only I were thin enough, then they would love me. If only I were thin enough, then I would be happy. But nothing works from the outside. Self-approval, self-love, and self-acceptance are key. When we use food to cope and we really indulge in negative thinking around hating ourselves, self-loathing, really just beating ourselves up, we are actually doing that to protect ourselves from the unknown. It seems so ass backwards. I get that. We want to lose weight. But we also really like having these coping mechanisms because it gives us control over the outcome. We are actually protecting ourselves from the uncertainty or the unknown of choosing a different path, because if we continue to use food to cope, if we continue to protect ourselves then we know how that plays out because we've done it a million times. And that just feels easier and more comfortable and more familiar. And that is how we are keeping ourselves safe. That is how we are protecting ourselves. And that is how, when we start to gain weight, that is a direct physical outcome from this need to protect ourselves from the unknown, from choosing a different path, from making different choices that will lead you somewhere else. We would rather just keep spiraling and cycling through the same obstacles and roadblocks all of the time because that is familiar and that protects us and that keeps us safe. And on a spiritual level, have you ever noticed that you tend to gain weight when life is completely chaotic? When there is some sort of negative circumstance happening in your life? That when we feel insecure and not at ease, that's when we tend to put on a few pounds? This isn't by coincidence. This is really because in our external environment, in our circumstances, in our lives, we are going through something that feels threatening. And we turn to food and use food in a way to protect ourselves. And that is how we gain weight. And when life starts to settle down again and feel more calm and easeful, and we're nourishing ourselves and finding joy in our lives, the weight seems to come off a little easier, doesn't it? The threat that keeps us in this fight or flight mode is gone, and it all just feels more calm and like the weight is suddenly being shed externally and internally, right? In addition, the issue is that in our modern days, in our daily lives, we are constantly living in this fight or flight mode. We are constantly just keeping our head above water. And it's causing us to reach for food to protect ourselves from all of it, which then leads to weight gain. We need to be taking the time to create space for ourselves, to be with ourselves in a new way, to do things that bring us joy, that bring us pleasure, that really ignite our soul. So that we are down-regulating our nervous system, so that we're not just constantly living in fight or flight mode, so that you have the availability and capacity to even engage with the idea of loving and approving yourself, trusting in the process of life, feeling safe because you know the power of your own mind to make the best choices for yourself. When we are in this never-ending, keeping our head above water state, we really get bogged down with negative thinking. It's a slog fest. Every single day feels like a chore. It feels like the chores never end. Like we are just not creating any space for our soul to thrive in that sort of environment. So when we can alleviate some of this negative thinking and turn inward, the weight will often start to come off because we're touching in with that part of you that is what makes up your whole being. And when that part is out of balance, your body wants to hold on to that extra weight for protection. So on a spiritual level, protection really is the biggest one, which is why I wanted to spend a little more time talking about it, because it feels like a very intangible sort of meta kind of concept. But when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, right? I'm protecting myself from change. I'm protecting myself from putting myself out there. I'm protecting myself from perhaps attention that I don't really want from other people if I were to lose weight. On a spiritual level, protection really is the big one. It's sort of like the big umbrella, but I'm going to list more spiritual reasons, more spiritual roots for why we might gain weight or blocks to losing weight in case they resonate with you more. But honestly, they could all really be put underneath that protection umbrella. Because that is essentially what we get from engaging in these other spiritual reasons. So the next one I want to talk about is trapped emotions. When we don't process or express our feelings, they fester. They fester around inside of us, and if we don't give them the attention that they need, we will subconsciously or consciously reach for food to numb that tension within. This is really how trapped emotions can lead to weight gain. And additionally, these unresolved emotions really disrupt our inner balance, the balance of our chakras, of the energy centers in our body that lead to further energetic and physical disharmony. The next one is seeking fulfillment. Fulfillment is a spiritual need that we all have as human beings. We want to have purpose. We want to have fulfillment and joy in our lives. And if it is lacking, it may trigger compulsive eating and therefore weight gain. For example, somebody with a really fulfilling life to their soul, to their core, may eat a keto meal and not be even entirely satisfied with it. Maybe it was like, okay, food is fuel. I'm just going to eat this food. No big deal. I'm not going to be distressed by that. I'm not going to feel distress if I'm full, but I'm not satisfied with what I ate. While another person who lacks fulfillment in their life may overeat or binge eat or turn to carbs and sugar in search for that sense of satisfaction that eludes them, because they're not doing other things in their life that makes them feel fulfilled at their core on a soul level. So they are continuously turning to food and overeating or binge eating or having unhealthy choices because they are constantly seeking fulfillment from food and a sense of satisfaction from food. Whereas the person who has a more fulfilled life to their soul can feel full and not satisfied, but not feel distressed by it, because they are not using food to bring them that satisfaction in their life, because they're fulfilled in their life in so many other areas outside of food. Another spiritual block that can be hindering our weight loss or creating this healthy lifestyle for ourselves is hidden anger. If you don't express your anger in a healthy way, it can live within you and fester and trigger overeating. When we hold our anger in, the only way that we keep it in is by continuously shoving it down. We bury it, and we bury it through food, through overeating. We are shoving it down. That is why we are shoving the food in our mouths, because we need to keep that anger repressed. We need to bury that. And sometimes we don't even realize anger is festering, making this really one of the most overlooked spiritual blocks to weight loss. Because we've buried it for so long, perhaps something in your childhood, in your teenage years, that we are so accustomed to just burying it that we don't know another way. And we don't realize that that is actually the root cause of this compulsive eating, of binge eating, of overeating, is to really just keep that anger buried. And another emotion that really goes hand in hand with anger is resentment. If we are holding on to anger or resentment from being denied of love or nourishment, if you grew up in a house where your parents did not provide the love or nourishment that you needed, you may subconsciously be holding on to resentment towards this. Even if decades have passed, it can still manifest now as a spiritual reason for weight gain or blocking you from weight loss, because we cannot release the weight when we are busy holding tight to our resentments. Or maybe it's not even something as big as holding on to this, you know, larger capital R resentment towards our parents. It could be something as small and insidious as holding resentment against your partner, right? Like, how often, I hear it all the time, say that there's a husband and wife and they both go on a diet. The husband loses weight so quickly while the wife's sitting there being like, well, I'm trying harder than you. I'm doing more things than you. I'm really going after this. And I'm so annoyed and frustrated and resentful to my husband, who seems to just make one minor change and the weight just falls off. I would love to remind you in those moments that you are not your husband. You are in a completely different body. You've had completely different experiences. And we need to be willing to release this resentment, because it is not helping you. On a spiritual level, that resentment is bringing disharmony to your body, which may actually be blocking your weight loss. So be happy for him and keep doing what you're doing and allow the weight to come off when it feels safe and ready to do so. We need to create a safe internal environment for the weight to come off. And if we're holding on to resentment, it's really blocking that from happening. And again, we're holding hands here. Anger is holding hands with resentment, which is holding hands with a resistance to forgive. When we can't forgive others and we hold on to that anger and resentment, those emotions can also fester, which also drives our compulsion to eat. Whether you need to forgive someone in your life or you need to forgive yourself for gaining the weight in the first place, we need to invite compassion into this process. It is the fastest way to move you forward, because if we're unable to forgive ourselves for getting to the place that we're in, how are we going to move past it? How are we going to learn to love and accept ourselves to really create the environment for these changes to occur and take hold? I mentioned it before, and we hear it all the time. We need to be willing to feel our feelings. Running away from our feelings is when we turn to food for comfort, especially when we're feeling stressed or sad or lonely or depressed. And we know emotional eating leads to weight gain. Through a psychological lens, overeating might serve as this maladaptive coping mechanism for unwanted emotions. And through a spiritual lens, overeating really does reflect this reoccurring theme for a need of protection. We are protecting ourselves from our own emotions because it feels safer to do that than to actually feel them. Which is so fascinating, because feelings can't actually hurt you. We, in our lifetime, have experienced the full spectrum of feelings. Sure, it's uncomfortable. There might be discomfort there. I'm going to have to actually sit with and allow this feeling to move through me and not just numb out or avoid it with food. But it can't hurt you. Nothing bad will actually happen from feeling your feelings and feeling your emotions. What happens is we continuously run from our feelings and use food to cope, that hurts us. We are playing the role in our own pain and suffering. We are using food to protect ourselves from our feelings when our feelings can't really hurt us. And the faster that we can accept the fact that being human means that we are going to experience positive feelings 50% of the time and negative feelings 50% of the time, we are then better able to understand that this is just life. This is just going to happen. But we get to choose how we're going to be with ourselves when those negative feelings show up. In the last episode, we talked all about self-control and the art of letting go. And that really does have a spiritual impact on blocking our weight loss, because the lower tolerance you have for uncertainty, for the things that we can't control, we become really sensitive to that. We want to have the illusion that we can control everything. And that if I can control everything, then I know exactly what's going to happen. I know what the outcome's going to be. But we don't. And we never will. So when we can relinquish this need for control, we may actually be assisting on a spiritual level, relinquishing some of the extra weight. Because we're no longer using food to buffer from our experience, from that discomfort that uncertainty is going to bring to us. We really can lean into the unknown and trust in ourselves and trust in the process that it'll all work out. When we really grip onto this need for control is when we, on a spiritual level, are trying to micromanage our experiences. And that's just not how life works. That's just not how this keto journey, this lifestyle is going to work. There are going to be times when it's hard. There are going to be times when it's easy. But we can't control every single circumstance that's going to happen in our lives. And if we have this sensitivity to when things get stressful, that's when we are more likely to reach for food as a buffer, because we have a low tolerance for the chaos and we're trying to create some form of stability through our food choices, even though it doesn't actually serve us. I mentioned at the beginning that I am a highly sensitive person. I know this about myself. And if you're a highly sensitive person, it often means that you process stimuli out in our world more deeply than the average person, which then causes us to be more susceptible to feeling overstimulated. And as a result, you may be more inclined to reach for food to try and buffer these overwhelming emotions, which again is this spiritual need for protection. But when we are able to accept that I am a highly sensitive person, we can come to terms with that and make peace with that, so that every time our emotions are really high and we're feeling really sensitive, we just know that's who we are, that's part of who we are, and it doesn't mean that I need to go turn to food to try and fix that, because I'm not broken, I'm just sensitive. And that's okay, I want to stay that way, to be honest. But we have to understand, if you are a highly sensitive person, it means you're going to experience emotions at the further edges of the spectrum. And when we are reaching those further edges of the spectrum, it doesn't mean we need to turn to food to try and escape it and to protect ourselves from it. Another spiritual block is a fear of rejection. I mentioned earlier, like, we're scared to put ourselves out there in a new way, in case we get rejected. And like I said, I grew up the bigger girl, so I was always hyper aware of that fact. I always wanted to just fit in with my friends, even though I could never fit in their clothes. You know, girlfriends, you all get together and you're like deciding what you're going to wear for the school dance, I could never wear what my friends had. So I was always afraid of being rejected. This might surprise you a little bit, but I was actually a lot quieter. I was a lot more shy. I was a lot more reserved because of this fear of rejection. This spiritual reason for weight gain or blocking us from weight loss could be this need for protection from rejection of others. Clinical research has shown a correlation between weight gain and expectation of social rejection. It can be such a difficult truth because it's a vicious cycle. Being overweight heightens our fear of rejection, which in turn can heighten our need to use food to escape our emotions. It feels safer to turn to food as your reliable source of comfort because the food has never rejected you before. It can't. It's an inanimate object. Whereas with other people in social interactions, we fear this rejection. We want to belong. This is literally from the caveman days. Humans have not been around for very long. Our brains have not evolved from those days, despite all of the changes and technology and all of the things that we know. Our brain still has this need for this sense of belonging, because otherwise we'd be shunned from our tribe and we would die. So this is literally a human need to belong. And if we fear that we might be rejected, we will often turn to food because it won't reject us. It will keep us safe. It will protect us from that. And finally, just on that same thread, we have self-rejection. Self-rejection is one of the spiritual causes of weight gain that can be blocking our weight loss. It's the physical accumulation of excess weight that symbolizes the emotional and psychological burdens of not accepting ourselves. We don't like where we are now. We don't like who we are in this body. And we really do believe that once I lose weight, everything's going to fall into place for me. I will be changed. I will be happier. I'll be more lovable. But this self-rejection of where you currently are is a spiritual block to losing the weight. Because there are so many incredible things about you. There are so many things to love about yourself. And when we can lean into that and practice accepting where we are, loving ourselves through this process, we are actually able to overcome some of these blocks. And the weight will more naturally shed off as a byproduct of this love and acceptance for ourselves. By understanding the spiritual meaning of weight gain, we can hone in on the blocks to weight loss that are standing in the way. And in Louise Hay's book, she really explains that when we uplift one aspect of the Trinity, of our totality, of our body, mind, and spirit, it promotes growth in the other aspects. You are a whole person, body, mind, and soul. We can't use our mind to manipulate what's going to happen in our body and pay no attention to our spirit at all. They all have an impact. They all work together and they all want to live in harmony with one another. For some people, they can work on their mindset to reach a more natural ideal weight. For others, they can work on some of these spiritual blocks to help weight loss and accelerate their progress. You have so much wisdom and knowledge within you. You have all of the answers within you. But we just don't go there and get still and listen and connect with our spirit, our intuition, our higher self, our spirit guide, whatever you want to call it. Because it's often a whisper. And it's really hard to listen to that whisper when we have our mind screaming at us. All of the negotiations we're making with ourselves, the justifications for why we need to eat that, the default patterns that are just running their course, those are screaming while your spirit is whispering, because we haven't developed the skill set or practiced touching in with that part of ourselves enough. Asking our body what it wants and needs. Our body is what communicates our spiritual nudges, our intuitive knowing to us. I really do recommend going back to listen to the How to Listen to Your Body episode, because we need to be willing to turn inward, to fully understand why it is we are falling into these patterns over and over again. Why we feel like we can't trust ourselves around food. Why we think we need more rules and more plans to change us and change our body. When really, I bet those answers are inside of you already. They're just speaking to you quietly and they're being overridden by our mind and by our cravings and by dopamine and wanting all of those false pleasures in our life, the quick hits, the negative thought patterns, the negative beliefs we have about ourselves. Your body is communicating with you all of the time. We have to develop and hone in on the skill set to learn how to pay attention. So I'm going to give you a few simple steps that you can practice to touch in with yourself and just be willing to listen to that spiritual side of you that may have some of the answers that you're looking for. And I want to say that this might feel really uncomfortable at first. You might feel really silly or like this isn't going to do anything. And that is why it is a practice, because we need to hone this skill of touching in with all of the parts of ourself so that we can create this healthy lifestyle, body, mind, and soul. Step one, get still. Take a few minutes to sit in stillness. Begin by closing your eyes and taking 5 or more deep breaths. Just enough till you feel yourself relax. You feel some of that tension release from your body. That's step one. I mean, that alone, the practice of sitting still. Imagine in our busy day-to-day lives, we just don't even do that. So, I digress. Step one, get still. Step two, turn inward. By this, you are posing the question you really want an answer to. This question can really serve as your intention and is the key that could unlock the door that reveals what your actual fear is, what your actual spiritual block is. So we sit in stillness. We are taking some deep breaths. Maybe you put some unguided meditation music on in the background. And simply ask yourself a question you want an answer to. Why do I have all this belly fat? Something like that. And as we are sitting in stillness and breathing and asking this question, listen. That's step three, listen. Allow your body to speak to you and listen to whatever thoughts or images or feelings or physical sensations that you get. You may be surprised about what you find out. You may have never thought of it before. And yet there is a part of you that deep down knows what's going on here and can provide insight for you to move forward. And the final step is to take action. This is the most challenging, but the most important part of the whole process. When we can visualize ourselves letting go, we can allow ourselves to create space for love and acceptance to enter so that we can finally heal. Perhaps after you have done the first few steps, maybe we just journal what came up for us. And that gets to be enough for the day. It's not going to say like this is a one and done thing. You're not going to do this one time and boom, I'm healed and all of this stuff has gone away. But until we are acknowledging it and practicing this for ourselves, we may never know. We may just stay stuck forever in these patterns that keep repeating themselves without getting anywhere, without allowing ourselves to step into that next version that we want to become. So I want to close out this episode with some new thought patterns to try on for yourself that comes from Louise Hayes. And I just want to say, with this book, it's not only about weight loss. She has literally any sort of physical ailment that you may be dealing with, she can tie back to a probable cause and provide some insight and new thought patterns for literally anything. Like I said, I'm going to link the book down in the show notes if you want to check it out. But when it comes to being overweight and this need for protection and running from our feelings and seeking fulfillment through food or feeling insecure or this fear of rejection, we can try on some new thought patterns that she provides. I would love if you could just take a few deep breaths and really allow this to resonate, to really try this on for yourself right now in real time. Deep breath. Repeat after me. I am at peace with my own feelings. I am safe where I am. I create my own security. I love and approve myself. Now, imagine if you practiced saying those few sentences to yourself every single day. What could that change for you? I don't know. Perhaps it's something you want to try on for yourself. But what I do know is that love heals and fear blocks. Whatever you weigh or whatever you look like, please understand that you are good enough and you deserve love. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes about it. If you are here on this planet, you are worthy of this journey, and tuning in with our spiritual side can really help propel us forward in ways that perhaps you've never considered before. I will record an upcoming episode talking more about our emotions and emotional awareness, our emotional tolerance, to really dig one level deeper. But today I really just wanted us to playfully consider that this journey can help heal us mind, body, and soul. And to be a whole person means all of these aspects are what make you you. And they all come into play and have a role in this journey, in this process. And this keto journey really is a gift. It is a process of self-discovery if you choose to view it that way. I hope you found this episode helpful. if anything resonated with you, if this feels like it went right over your head, that's okay. No one really talks about this stuff. But I really wanted to shine a light on it just so that we are pulling in that piece of us. Because true transformation and lasting changes happen when we bring all of the parts of us along for the ride. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. Thanks so much for listening, pal. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend it with me, and I hope you found this episode helpful. If you have any questions or want clarity around anything you heard today, or if you just want to share what came up for you, check out the show notes and click on Connect with Stephanie. This is directed straight to my inbox where I personally answer every single message and question that comes in. I'm ready to hold space for you and help you move forward on your keto journey. Until then, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. Thank you.